Let's pray. Father, we just ask that you help us tonight, Lord. Help us, Lord, to hear what you have for us. Help us, Lord, to receive, to believe. Help us to walk in the truth of your word. I pray, Father, that you just have your way in our hearts tonight. And Lord, we just yield to the Holy Spirit and ask you, Lord, to speak to us, that we will be receptive and open, yielded. Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you impart to us fresh vision. Lord, put in us fresh passion. Lord, for your purpose, your cause, your kingdom, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, tonight, I want to talk to you about unity. Now, first of all, I want you to know that grace is a very loving group of people. And I say this all the time, sweetest people that God ever brought together in one church. I really do believe that. I tell my preacher friends. I tell them that my job is easy. I'm sorry for you. I know how it is. Listen, every preacher knows how it is when there's not unity. Every preacher knows how it is when you got some mean religious devils. And so I've been there and done that, and I just thank the Lord that for some reason he's been really good to me and given me this opportunity to pastor a church of people that are so sweet and kind. And I'm not just talking about to me. No, I'm talking about to one another and love one another. That's the way it's supposed to be. And I believe in this church that we have unity. And if you know better, I don't need to know. Don't come tell me. You know, if you know better, well, then I guess God showed you so you could pray. But the reason that I want to share this message tonight is because we have to keep unity. You know, in all that God has for us to accomplish, the cause of Christ is too important for us to have strife in our midst that would hinder and slow us down. And so we got to do everything that we can to keep the unity. You need to always be on guard. See, Satan is always working against us. We have an adversary. And, you know, he's been at this a really long time, thousands of years. Most of us have been at it a lot less than that, right? He has a whole lot of experience at deceiving people. And, you know, one of the reasons that we get deceived a lot of the time is because we seem to be unaware of his devices and how he moves and how he works. You know, he doesn't come the way you expect. And I got to tell you that he works on believers differently. And he works on spiritual people differently than he does unbelievers or carnal believers. And it's amazing how he can find an inroad. And I'm telling you that this is one of his devices, is strife and disunity. And so most of us know this verse from 1 Peter 5:8, but it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Now listen to me. This is one of the ways that he devours. This is one of the ways that he destroys people. He destroys lives. He destroys families. Destroys relationships. Destroys even churches. He does it through disunity. And so he starts off this verse with this: be sober, be vigilant. So we got to always be alert, always be ready, always be watching out for the enemy trying to get in through some kind of strife and division. And you know, it can start in your heart with just some little thing that you didn't like. Well, it can be all kinds of stuff. I'm not going to label any, because I'm just going to leave that for you, because it can be a thousand different things. But we just have to be alert and ready. Paul said, we're not going to let him get an advantage of us because we are aware of his devices. So we need to make an effort to be aware of his devices. And strife is one of those tools that he uses to steal, kill, and destroy. So unity is so important to the cause of Christ. Listen to the prayer of Jesus on the night that he was betrayed. In John 17, 20 through 23, he says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's you and me, right? We believe in Jesus through their word, through the word of the disciples. Listen, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. He wants us to be one so the world will believe. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Twice in this passage, he makes it very clear that he wants his church to be one so that the world will know that the Father sent him. I'm telling you, one of the greatest reproaches on the church and on the name of Jesus is disunity in the body of Christ. It hinders the cause of Christ. I mean, it is one of the most valid criticisms that the world has of the church. You can't even get along amongst your own selves. Who are you to tell us how to live? The devil works overtime trying to divide. We got divisions by denomination, divisions within denominations, divisions within churches, divisions within families. It's amazing how the enemy uses this weapon against the church to always try to divide, to always keep people from really being 100% into the cause of Christ. See, here's what's really important to Jesus. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. This is what's really important to Jesus, is to win people. And it's amazing how often that when division happens, it's because people got their eyes, their focus became all kinds of other things. But when we keep this as the main thing, that we're here as a church to be the body of Christ in this world, and to reach people, to share this gospel until everybody knows. I'll tell you, when we keep that focus, it's amazing how strife and disunity doesn't play into that. No, that gets in when we get our eyes on all kinds of other things, but I'm just telling you, Satan is always working, trying to slow down, trying to hinder the church from doing what God wants us to do. I really believe that God wants unity in the church. Jesus prayed for it. I know it's his will. And I'm not talking about everybody being in one denomination. That's not it. I'm not talking about that everybody is going to believe the same thing about everything. Some of you, even in your own family, you don't all believe the same thing about everything. And I just got to do it again because it's such a problem. You don't even always agree with yourself, because 10 years ago, you probably thought some things and believed some things that today you've changed your mind, or you believe something just a little different than you did 10 years ago. And if you haven't, guess what? In 10 years, you haven't grown any. Because as we grow, we believe differently. We understand in a different way, a deeper level. There's new things that God has revealed to us as we grow. But I just want you to get this. When we talk about unity, that doesn't mean that we're all going to think just alike and never, ever, you know, have an opportunity to disagree. No, that's not what unity is about. It's about us coming together to fulfill one purpose and one cause, the cause of Christ, to do God's will in this earth. He says twice, so that the world will believe. There's more than enough believers right now to win the world in just a few years. But what hinders the church is disunity, that we don't all work together to fulfill the cause of Christ. So tonight, I want to give you four. I'm going to give you four several times, okay? Am I confusing you yet? But I'm going to give you four biblical truths about unity. First of all, God loves unity and He hates division. He loves unity. Psalm 133 says, "Behold, how good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." I'm just telling you, God really likes it. He thinks it's a beautiful thing when His people dwell in unity. And He blesses that. He releases a blessing on us when we're in unity. But understand this, He also hates disunity and discord. Proverbs chapter 6 gives us a list of six things that the Lord hates, and then it says seven are an abomination to Him. Proverbs 6:16. In verse 19, He says this. Here's one of the things in the list, all right? One who sows discord among the brethren. You know, it's amazing how people can be used of the devil just like they can be used of God. And sometimes the one that sows discord, it's just with a whisper. It's just a little comment that they make. Scripture says that a whisperer separates close friends. I remember one time Carmen and I had been friends with a couple for over 20 years. They had worked with us in ministry as volunteers, 20 years. And somebody else started whispering in their ear, telling them things that weren't true, bending, skewing things the wrong way. They turned against us, weren't our friends anymore, ended up leaving the church. It was the strangest thing to us to be friends with somebody for 20 years and they never even talked to us about it. They believed what this person whispered in their ear and left. I'm telling you, that's the way the enemy works. He'll just try to bring a little whisper in your ear just to start stirring something up in your heart. And the Lord hates it. Let me just throw a little crazy in the sermon tonight, okay? Are you ready for this? He says, the one. He says, and one who sows discord. Now, I'm going to leave that to you to figure out. You just pray about that and think on that as you go to sleep tonight. It doesn't even just say He hates discord. It says He hates one who sows discord among the brethren. Okay, moving along. But But I'm just telling you, the unity of God's people is so important to him because he knows it's the key to the power and the blessings of God being on his people. If you want the blessing of God on your home, I'm telling you, you got to keep unity in your home. You got to keep strife out. Decide that strife has no place in your home. See, here's a deception of the enemy. Oh, no, no, everybody does it. I've heard Christian people say that. I worked with somebody on staff one time that said, oh, yeah, everybody fights. Some of you are thinking, well, yeah. No, they don't. Moms and dads say, well, everybody does it. And then when their teenager comes home and says, everybody, teenagers know better than to say that. You would think that their mom and dad would know better than to say that. Everybody does it. What a stupid reason for doing something, right? No, everybody doesn't fight. And you decide that you're not going to have that in your home. And guess what? If you have had that and you have done that, we'll decide you're not going to do it anymore. You got to keep the strife out of your home. It's important to have unity. Satan uses division to attack God's people. That's number two, by the way, truth about unity. Satan uses division to attack God's people. Well, I've been talking about that the whole time, but you just need to understand that Satan knows the power of unity, and so he does everything he can to bring division. And by the way, y'all know what division means, right? It's division. It's two visions. You can't have unity with two visions. Satan always tries to bring division. He tries to slow the church down, and the best way to do that is by bringing strife in, disunity, division. Jesus said in Luke 11 and 17, he says, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house fails. Jesus says very plainly, here's spiritual truth. A house can't stand if it's divided. It'll fall. That's why Satan works overtime in trying to bring division in a family, a church. Anytime there's a group of people trying to serve God and accomplish a vision, the enemy's always going to try to disrupt with disunity. And if he can divide, he can conquer. We have power over all the power of the enemy. If we submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, he will flee from us. But understand this. When we have strife and disunity in our midst, we are leaving the door open. We're giving the devil a foothold. Number three, unity never lasts without effort. It's not automatic because we are in a battle. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love. Oh, that's all so good. I'm not going to take time tonight to go through each part of that, but it's all so good. Lowliness, gentleness, longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He says in verse 3, endeavor. That means we're to give effort to keeping the unity of the Spirit. You got to work at it. He said the bond of peace. See, peace is a bond that holds us together. When that peace is broken, the bond is broken, it gives the enemy an opportunity. Some people don't think anything about disturbing the peace. I don't mean in your neighborhood. I'm talking about disturbing the peace in the body of Christ. Listen, that's called a troublemaker. We want to be a peacemaker. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, they'll be called the children of God. See, Some people, if you disagree with them, if they have a different opinion, their answer is to divide. If they're opinionated, they want everybody else to agree with them, or they're just going to leave and do their own thing. No humility, no effort to keep the unity. Y'all don't get quiet on me. I'm going to think you're in strife if you get quiet on me. Romans 12:18. It says, as much as depends on you, if it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. As much as it depends on you. You know, there's some people that no matter what you do, you can't get along with them. I mean, they've already decided they're not ever going to get along with you. Some people are just bent that way. But as much as depends on you, in other words, on your part, you're doing everything you can to live peaceably with all men. Do everything you can to get along. Whatever you can to keep unity. Keep the bond of peace. Be blessed if you're a peacemaker. Number four, unity happens when people put God and the kingdom ahead of their own selfish interests. Matthew 6:24-25, Jesus says to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus gives us this very plainly, that if we're really going to follow him, we got to deny ourselves. It's never about us. It's always about the cause of Christ. So he says, take up the cross. We're not carrying around crosses, are we? No, he's talking about the plan and purpose of God. He's talking about the cause. And so we deny ourselves to take up the cause. And I'm telling you, whenever there's strife, there's selfishness, there's pride involved. People want what they want, and this group wants what they want. In your home, it's this one wants this and this one wants that. But selfishness always brings disunity. You can't have unity when somebody demands to have their way. Our unity is a sign to the world that Jesus is real. If we have disunity and division, it means that we're carnal and we're no different from the world, and they know it. 1 Corinthians 3:1-3, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able. You're still carnal. I just want to stop right here. I just want to mention to you, if you read on the rest of the book of 1 Corinthians and you get down there to chapter 14, you know that this church, man, they had the gifts happening. They had so much speaking in tongues, they couldn't hardly have church. They were really spiritual, they thought. But Paul tells them right here, he says, I can't even give you any meat because you're carnal. You're just babes in Christ. And here it is, he says, for where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Now, when he says mere men, he's talking about not born again. He's saying you're acting just like the world. You're acting like people that don't even know God, just like mere men. And I just want to make the point to you. You see, when we walk together in unity and we love one another, that's spiritual. But here's the crazy thing. Do you know that most of the time in church and religious circles, when people get at odds with one another, they think they're being spiritual. They almost always have this self-righteous indignation about whatever the issue is, and they think they're the spiritual one. You're never the spiritual one when you're in strife. And it brings reproach on the name of Jesus. So, here's four promises about unity. Unlimited potential. In Genesis chapter 11, it tells us about how the people were all had one language and one speech, and they came together to build this great tower, the Tower of Babel. They said, "Let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top reaches to the heavens and make a name for ourselves." But the Lord, in verse 5 it says, "But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, 'Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them.'" The Lord says, this is amazing, amazing spiritual truth here, but the Lord says about these ungodly people that because they have come together as one, there's not anything that they won't be able to accomplish. And so he mixed their languages where none of them could understand one another anymore, and the unity was gone. There's never been a time in history when it was like that, just like that again. But if it's that way when unbelievers come together in unity, how much more is it when the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, comes together in unity? I'm telling you, that is a powerful thing. There's not anything impossible with God when His people are in unity. But when we're not in unity, it disrupts the flow. It disrupts, listen, it grieves the Holy Spirit. And it gives the enemy an opportunity. But I'm just telling you that there's a great unlimited potential when people come together in unity. By the way, you personally will never reach your greatest potential unless you're in unity with other believers, because the church is a body and there is no one-man show. The second promise is supernatural anointing and blessing. Well, we read this one earlier, but it's good enough to read again. In Psalm 133, "Behold how good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garment." That oil, it's talking about anointing. It's talking about God's supernatural ability on our lives. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. I'm telling you, God blesses, supernatural blessing when His people are in unity. Here's how to get out of the blessing of the Lord. Get in strife. And it doesn't matter what you're doing in your home. If you're having a Bible study, doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing. Listen, you can have the most spiritual atmosphere, and somebody brings in strife, and all of the sudden, it just quenches the spirit. It just breaks that flow. I'm telling you, it hinders, it binds up. No, we want that supernatural blessing. We've got to keep unity. It brings that blessing. Some people think they got all the answers if they could just get everybody to do what they want. But the truth is, without the blessing of God, we can't win. But with the blessing of God, we can't fail. That's what we need to be after, is God's blessing. And He blesses when people are in unity. one of the fatal mistakes a lot of people make is that they value being right more than they value unity. You think you're right, don't you? I hope you think you're right. I mean, if you think you're wrong and you're just being wrong on purpose, that's stupid. We all think we're right. Well, some of us must be wrong. Every time you have a disagreement with somebody, one of you's wrong. And there's a 50% chance it's you. Some of you are thinking, no, hardly ever. Oh, yeah. You just don't know it. But some people, their mantra is, I'm miserable and all alone, but I'm right. I've left 7 churches, but I'm right. I've had 4 marriages and 4 divorces, but I'm right. That's not the way God wants us to live. That's not the blessing of the Lord. I can assure you that person is wrong way more than they're right. And when I say this, listen, about being in unity and more important to be in unity than be right, I'm not talking about heresy. You can't unite around lies. And I'm not talking about immorality and sin. You can't unite around sin. But I'm talking about choosing to have unity, putting aside our personal agenda, putting aside our peace, putting aside our own opinions, and putting aside our pet doctrines or issues in order to have unity. The third blessing that comes with unity is supernatural power. People always talk about seeing the power of God, and I'm telling you, the key to the power of God in the church is unity. That's when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. It's when they were all in one accord. They were all together praying the same thing. It's amazing how sometimes you got people in churches and one group's praying this and the other group's praying the exact opposite. No, we got to be praying the same thing. Listen to this from Acts chapter 4, verse 32 through 33. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul, neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common, and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Wow, how powerful is that? All who believed were of one heart and one soul. They were all on the same page. They had one thing in mind. And that was the cause of Christ, I tell you. Great power, because they were in unity. Real quick, I'm going to give you 4 things that we can do to have unity, or that come when we have unity. I'll get this right. Unity brings answered prayer. Jesus said, if any two of you agree together as touching anything, it shall be done for them of my Father in heaven. Just 2 people agreeing together. Oh, how powerful the prayer of agreement is, to just come together in unity. That's that 4th blessing. Powerful prayer when you pray together in unity. Now, here's the 4 keys in keeping the unity. Humbly depend upon the Holy Spirit. Whenever we get into pride, contention comes. But if we just humble ourselves and we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, the Lord can help us to keep unity. See, we all have the potential to be divisive when we get in our flesh. We got to be careful that we don't allow ourselves to be carnal. Remember, that's what Paul said to the Corinthians. He said, you're carnal. We got to be careful that we stay in the Spirit and don't allow ourselves to head that direction. You know, in Galatians chapter 5, it says to walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then he goes into all of these works of the flesh. And in the midst of those works of the flesh, in Galatians 5:20, he says, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, and dissensions. I'm telling you, that is all the flesh. It's that carnal mind. And if we walk in the Spirit, we can overcome that. We can have love, joy, peace, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, kindness, long-suffering, self-control, if we just walk in the Spirit. To keep the unity, walk in love. We just got to be careful that we don't allow ourselves to be selfish. Focus on the big things. Walk in love. Focus on the big things. It's amazing how we can get distracted by silly little things and allow ourselves to get in disunity over some doctrine. This is why there's so many churches, so many denominations. Why? We can always find some doctrine we disagree on. Do you know what? If you don't agree with me about baptism, I don't care. I mean, you're wrong, but I don't care. I know some people, it's a deal breaker. You know, you're not going to heaven if you don't believe like I do about baptism. Get to heaven, you're going to be surprised at some people that are there. And there's going to be some people surprised that you're there. It's truth. That's when you start deciding who's going to heaven. That's when you're in big trouble. It's not your job. I'm not going to divide with people over when the rapture comes. I'm going. I always just say I'm first trip. How about you? Are you going to wait for the second trip or are you going the first trip? Whenever that is, I'm going. Now, some people don't even believe in a rapture. You know, when it happens and we're, you know, it says that we'll meet the Lord in the air. I guess they'll figure it out then. You know what I'm saying? Or some of them will think they just learned to fly. I don't know. I'm just saying, I'm not going to divide with people over stuff like that. If they believe in Jesus as the only way to salvation, the only way to God, I tell you, I want to be united with my brothers. I'm not going to fight and argue with them about every doctrine and everything. If we can't agree on every single thing, then we can't walk together. You see, that's the next thing. We need to focus on the things we have in common, not on our differences. It's amazing how we can agree on 99 things, but we find that one thing and we focus on that, and people part company. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6, there's one body, one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who's above all, through all, and in you all. Do you get the idea here? There's one. There's one Father, there's one Lord, there's one Spirit. I want to tell you, we're all washed in the same blood. We have so much in common. How is it we find some little thing that we disagree on and let's just focus on that? No, focus on what we have in common, not the differences. The differences are temporary. We get to heaven, do you realize none of those things are going to matter? They're not going to, you know, make jokes about the denominational sections. They're not going to have a section for all of you who believe this way on this doctrine and some of you be sitting by yourself. Anyway, it's just not going to be that way. When we get there, it's not going to matter. And so here's the big question. Why does it matter so much to us now? What really matters is reaching people for Jesus. And we put these other pet doctrines and issues in the way, and it hinders what we're really supposed to be doing. And I'm not saying that false teaching is okay. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm just saying we get too distracted with things that bring strife and division, disunity, instead of the thing that unites us all. Last, how do we keep the unity? You deal with problems and offenses quickly. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." You see, we're not supposed to be angry and go to bed mad. You're supposed to deal with it quick. Some people, we live in an angry society, and some of the angriest people in our culture right now in America are Christians. Angry, 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 not like Jesus. Notice verse 27, he says, "Nor give place to the devil." You see, that's what we do when we stay mad. We give the devil room to work. You've got to be quick to deal with our anger. Make up your mind, you're not going to stay mad, but you're going to forgive. Don't leave a door open to the devil. Don't give him a place to work. You say, "Well, they did me wrong, and I want justice." He that has no mercy will have no mercy. If you don't show mercy, you won't have mercy. But you just keep going in that passage in verse 31 and 32. He says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away with you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you." And there's the key. You want to resolve things quickly? You got to be willing to forgive. You see, where there's unforgiveness and anger, malice, and all of those things, it's always an open door for strife. But when we are quick to forgive, see, we're not letting Satan take advantage of us. We're aware of his devices. See, when we're quick to forgive, oh, then it closes the door and the devil doesn't even get a chance. What a victory. I'm telling you, that's how you keep the unity. And you don't get mad at the preacher when he goes too long. Listen, our world is so divided. How we stand out. Jesus said, "They will know that you sent me," because we have unity, because we are one. How powerful. So church, I want to challenge you, encourage you tonight. Yes, this is a loving church. We have unity, but be on guard. The enemy is always at work, always trying to finagle a way to get a foothold, to stir something up, to try to hinder what the Lord is doing in and through this church. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, I just thank you for this body of believers. I thank you, Lord, that you are moving and working in our midst. Lord, that many lives are being changed. But Father, I know that the best days are yet to come. Lord, that you are bringing a great harvest and that you're going to use this church, this group of people, in a mighty way. Lord, that they're going to impact their families, their neighbors, their friends, their co-workers, people they hadn't even met yet. Lord, you're going to use them. And so, Father, we just stand together in prayer against the enemy and the forces of darkness that try to disrupt and hinder. And Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you would help us, Lord, to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Lord, let your blessing be upon us. Lord, we just ask for that. Lord, as we fulfill your cause and purpose in this world, Lord, we just pray the blessing, the anointing of God be upon us every day. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you.